Today, I have the privilege of sharing the word with us. It was supposed to be our brother Jung. Some of you probably know him. He used to be one of our worship leaders. And he was going to speak to us on the discipline of worship. But him and his family, his wife is right here. So she made it out of Australia okay, but their daughter tested for COVID, positive for COVID, kind of right at the end of their trip. So he had to delay coming back. So he's back in Hong Kong, but in quarantine. Ah, okay, good. So he's in quarantine, so obviously he couldn't be here. And I asked him if he had a burning sense of calling from the Lord to share the word, but he said no. he just said, it's like there's so many things for him to figure out, right, to return to Hong Kong. And so I said, hey, I'm happy to cover for you. And the topic is on worship, you know, and every time, and including myself, I told people, hey, I'm going to cover, it's on worship, and everybody gave a knowing look. You know, they're like, oh, good, perfect for you, because you're the worship pastor. And I thought the same, you know, I was like, okay, that's great. But I realized as I read the chapter on the discipline of worship that Foster wasn't referring to worship how we typically use that term. When we use the term worship, it's a much, much bigger term, but we typically refer to the 30 minutes at the beginning of service where we sing songs to God. We call that worship. And that's kind of what I thought this was going to be about. But I realized, no, Foster is using this term, especially because this discipline of worship falls under the broader category of corporate disciplines. There's inward disciplines, outward disciplines, corporate disciplines. And worship, the way Foster is using it, is really he's talking about corporate gathering, right? How we gather together on Sunday for worship service or Sunday service. The whole thing, gathering for pre-service prayer, the time of singing and praising God, the time of offering, the time of fellowship where we say hello to each other, where we hear the word, where we do communion and we respond together. That whole thing, we can refer to that as worship service. And that's really what Foster is talking about. So that's also what I want to talk about. Corporate worship, the discipline of corporate worship. And another way of saying that is gathered worship, the discipline of gathered worship. And so, just to make it very clear, today what I want to focus on is the importance of gathering in person, physically gathering in person to worship God together. So, live stream people, if you're tuning in right now, well, that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about gathering in person and why I think it is an important discipline for us to exercise as a church. And obviously, it's an interesting topic. It's very relevant to most churches today due to the COVID-19 pandemic, right? We didn't know how long this thing was going to last. And we thought, how many years ago? Like almost 3 years ago when we had to close down and we were trying to figure out, we thought, oh, it'll just be a one-time thing, a temporary thing. And here it is. It's lasted this long. And even last 2 weeks ago, we had to close service, close in-person service and move everything online because one of the staff members had tested positive. And we're so used to online worship now. We're so used to live stream worship, tuning in online, watching service online, that 2 weeks ago when we had to go online, it wasn't even a big deal for us anymore. We're just like, oh yeah, we're just going to go online, everybody tune in. And then we came back last week. And it's just, it's become a new normal for many of us. And even though we are back in person, for many of us in the church, not just in our church, but global church, this is something that's happening that all churches are dealing with, is people have gotten used to worshiping at home, tuning in and watching the service online. And so what I want to do today is just kind of explore that and ask the question, is that completely fine? Is that like totally something that we should just encourage and do? Or is it something that we should totally condemn and never do? We should cut off live stream, or what's going on? And what are some reasons for why I believe gathering in person is an important discipline? So I want to just make sure you understand, this is not something that I have been brooding over, okay? It's not like ever since we went online and we came back, and when people didn't come back in person, in my heart I've been harboring resentment, and I've just been waiting for this opportunity to strike back and say, you should come back in person. That's not what's going on here. In fact, I mean, I've had many conversations with many different people about this, and I've heard both sides of the argument. Some are very compelling. Some are not as convincing. And until this week, really, I hadn't landed on this issue, right? Because I think there's many benefits to online and live stream. And I enjoy watching service at home as well. But as I thought about it more this week, I have some things, some reasons to believe. I think it's better to come in person, and I want us to explore it together. Let us reason together on this issue. Scripture doesn't say much about why we should gather in person, because that was assumed, that was the only way of gathering that existed back then, right? When people gathered and met together, how could a local church be a church together without gathering in person? There was no way. Other way of gathering. Hebrews 10:25 reminds us, do not forsake, do not abandon meeting together. Do not forsake meeting together. But there wasn't anybody at that time saying to the writer of Hebrew, but we do gather online. We gather online. How about that? But nobody was exploring that because it didn't exist. So you won't find a verse, a scripture passage that supports or condemns online worship. So we have to go beyond looking for proof texts to address this topic. So I want to share just three reasons for gathering together in person. Three reasons for gathering together in person. And just some disclaimers. I know some of us have real reasons for why we cannot come in person. So I understand. I'm not saying this to condemn you or to shame you. COVID is still real. We have situations beyond our control. And another thing, if you have been in this church for a few years, you know that this past year was probably the most difficult year for us. We went through some trying times. And I understand that for many of us, it's not just COVID habits that's keeping us from coming in person to service. We have questions, we have barriers, we're grieving. It feels so strange to come to church physically and to see people. And so just want to say, like, it's okay. We acknowledge that. I'm not here to condemn you. Again, I'm not here to coerce you or force you to say you have to come in person. But I think it is important to talk about this. And even those of us that are here in person, it's important for you to think about this and why is it? Instead of just saying, well, it's Sunday, so I have to come in person, explore why. What's the reasoning for saying, hey, let's come in person together to worship God. Okay, three reasons. Number one, why do we gather? We gather for presence. Gather for presence. Yesterday, I came to church around 2 o'clock because I wanted to prepare for this message. I didn't have a lot of time this week, so yesterday, I was going to come at 2, and I knew I had a lot of work to do. But around 6:30, I closed my computer and turned off everything, and I went home. Why? Because I wanted to be present with my boys. I wanted to put them to sleep. I wanted to be present for their bedtime. So got home around 7:30 because that's when they usually go to bed, and I did the whole routine with them because I know, and we all know, presence matters. Presence matters, right? Being present, being fully present. That's a very kind of a trendy topic these days, right? We talk about you have to be fully present in whatever it is you're doing, whether you're drinking coffee in the morning or brushing your teeth, right? Turn off your phone and be fully present with everything that you're doing. Being fully present, that's a good thing. Why do we talk about, well, before we talk about the why. So being fully present is an important thing. So I want us to do a quick little reflection exercise. Let's just imagine, okay, that there is a presence meter that measures how present you are, 0 to 10. And I want you to reflect and ask yourself, if you're watching live stream right now, ask yourself, if you are here in person, you can ask yourself right now also, but also when you used to watch service on live stream, when you watch service or join service on live stream, how present are you in your presence meter? In the worship time, how present are you? 9 out of 10? 2 out of 10? In the fellowship greeting time, how present are you? Are you in the moment experiencing that together? In the offering time, in the sermon time, right now, as you're watching me speak through the screen, how present are you? And for you guys too, as you are here in person, how present are you to hear what I'm saying? Response time, the communion time, how present are you in these things? Being present is highly valuable or highly valued these days in our culture. Why? Why is being present something we talk about quite often? Because being present means something. Being fully present to something, it means love. It means care. It means I value you. It means this is important to me. Over the past few years, because of the COVID situation in Hong Kong, we've experienced this new thing called COVID weddings, right? COVID weddings, because we're restricted as to how many people we can have for weddings. So sometimes it's 20 people, depending on the situation, 20 people, 50 people, 100 people. And what a privilege it is to be invited in person, especially if there's like only 20 seats, precious seats. And if you are one of the people that is invited to this COVID wedding to attend in person, oh, that's a very, very precious thing. Can you imagine saying to the couple when they extend an invitation to you to join their wedding in person and there's only a limited number of seats? Can you imagine saying to the couple, wow, congratulations. Thank you for the invitation. I'm so happy for you guys. This is great. Hey, I was just wondering, by any chance, will you be live streaming the service? Will you be live streaming the ceremony? Can you imagine saying that to the couple and saying, oh, because something else is going on, this is going on, that's going on? No, because we know, like, we know how precious it is and how valuable it is and what it means for the couple to invite you to an in-person wedding. Attending a wedding is a lot of work. I've attended a few in-person weddings during this COVID period, and I've also attended a few live stream weddings. And this is usually how it is when I attend a live stream wedding. I'm at home, I'm chilling, I'm in my t-shirt, in my shorts, maybe in my pajamas, right? And the kids are running around, the home is, it's mayhem all the time, therefore it's mayhem at home, and maybe we're having some dinner together, and I just have my phone out, you know, it's like on the screen, and I'm trying to watch something, and usually it's not even live, right? The wedding has already happened, so I'm just watching the replay of the wedding, just so I can say, oh yeah, I attended your wedding. You know, and what do? I fast forward some of the bits, you know, some of the boring bits where you're just waiting Right? You fast forward because you just want to see the bridal, you know, this entrance into the ceremony, maybe the pronouncement, maybe the kiss of the couple. You want to see that. And so that's what I do. And then I write them a message and say, hey, beautiful wedding ceremony. Whereas if you're attending in person, man, that's a lot of work, right? You, a few hours before the wedding, you have to get ready. I have to shave. I have to do my hair. I have to wear my suit, my tie, my leather shoes. And there's so much work going into it. You have to prepare the wedding gift and get there early. It's an ordeal to attend a wedding in person. But it's really the effort that you make to attend the wedding in person that makes it meaningful and valuable, right? It's because it takes so much time and so much effort. When people show up, it's like, wow, thank you so much for making the effort, for looking good, and coming to the wedding. When Mon and I got married, we did our wedding in Sydney, Australia, because that's where she's from. And so we invited our whole church, hey, whoever can come, come. And we were so blessed to have so many people from Hong Kong take time off work, pay the expensive, you know, air ticket to fly all the way to Australia and to attend the wedding ceremony and to celebrate with us. And for us, that was so meaningful. Why is it so valuable and so meaningful? Because it takes so much work and time and money for them to make it out to our wedding. And it's the work, the inconvenience of it all, that actually makes it valuable and meaningful. And similarly, Sunday, coming to church on time, that takes a lot of work. Some of you have to shave, whatever. You get dressed, you try to look nice, and you get here in person, and you prepare your heart. And that takes way more effort than it would if you were to just tune in online. But it's the effort and the time that it takes for you that makes it meaningful and valuable for you to turn up. You're being present. We're gathered because presence matters. Being fully present to something matters. We gather for presence not only so that we can be present, but we also gather for the presence of God. I want to read to us one text, John chapter 20, verse 19. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and when the doors were shut, where the disciples were together due to fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst, and he said to them, "Peace be to you." And when he had said this, he showed them both his hands and his side. The disciples then rejoiced when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace be to you. Just as the Father has sent me, I also send you." Let's go to the next page. Next. And then verse 24, I want you to read this. It says, "But Thomas, one of the 12, who was called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples were saying to him, 'We have seen the Lord.' But he said to them, 'Unless I see in his hands the imprint of the nails and put my finger into the place of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will not believe.'" We don't know why Thomas wasn't there. He should have been there. He's one of the 12 disciples. We don't know why he wasn't there, but for some reason he didn't show up at this gathering. And what happened as a result of that? He missed out on the presence of the resurrected Jesus Christ. Jesus showed up, but Thomas wasn't there. And as a result of not being there and not witnessing it, it says he did not believe. It hindered his faith. And sometimes when we gather together, and this is what we should be praying for, you know, sometimes when we gather together, the presence of God is here. It shows up. I mean, it's always here. The presence of God is everywhere all the time, but sometimes he reveals. He unveils himself, and he reveals himself to us. And there's a special revelation, a special sense of the presence of God, the nearness of God, the love of God, the power of God. But when you're not here, you may miss out, and it will hinder your faith. It will hinder your experience, your relationship, your knowing of who God is. It's never the same to watch something through the screen, right? How many NBA games, if you're an NBA fan, how many NBA games have you watched on TV, and we're amazed at how good they are, but nothing can replace going there in person, to watch the players play. I remember when John Koshy went to the U.S. and he came back and he went to the NBA game and he was telling me about it and he said he got to see LeBron James warming up, just warming up, doing some stuff, movements, and he was just telling me all about it and he was so amazed at how good LeBron was. And even and as I was even just hearing him talk about it, I was like, wow, mesmerized. And how good, if you don't know LeBron James, he's probably debatable, but the best player right now in the NBA. And so, man, nothing can replace being there in person to witness something. And I just think we gather because we want to be present, but we also gather because we don't want to miss out on the presence of God showing up, appearing, and moving in our midst. Number two, why do we gather? We gather for help. We gather for help. Luke chapter 4, verse 5 to 8 says this. And he, the devil, and he led him, Jesus, up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, I will give you all this domain and its glory, for it has been handed over to me, and I give it to whomever I want. Therefore, if you worship before me, it shall be yours. Jesus replied to him, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. The same devil who tempted Jesus by showing him the kingdoms of the world and tempted him away from worshiping Father God alone, that same devil is tempting you and me every day, every hour, to turn our attention, to turn our devotion, to turn our affections away from God to something else. I want to ask you, what is the devil showing you? The devil showed Jesus the kingdoms of the world, and he said, all this can be yours if you would worship me. What is the devil showing you? Is it money? Is he showing you wealth, prestige, the respect of man, recognition, pleasures of this world, and whispering to you, all of this can be yours if you just turn away from God and you follow me. You worship me. You do what I'm telling you to do. You listen to my voice. You compromise. You give in. All of this can be yours. And that's where I'm saying we need help. Because the enemy of our soul, it says, Scripture says he's a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. He's seeking to devour you. He's seeking to devour me. And we need help to say, no, we're not going to fall into that. We're going to stay worshiping God. Worshiping God is to give my heart, to give my life, to give my all to him. To give to God my heart, my life, my attention, my affection, and my devotion, to give that to him. And we're called to worship all the time, not just at church, not just, you know, when we have our quiet time. We're called to worship him all the time, and it's hard. It's hard because temptation is always there. The devil is always there to try to take away our attention, our affection, our devotion from the Lord. So many things competing for our attention, affection, and devotion. And therefore, because it's so hard to maintain that heart of worship, I think coming together, gathering in person, setting aside a specific time to gather with a group of people that also are here for the same specific purpose of worshiping God, that's so helpful. It's like a workout class, right? We want to be healthy. We want to live a healthy lifestyle all the time, but that's hard. And so once a week, we go to this class. I mean, SP has a Monday evening workout group. I don't know if that's still happening. But if it is, you should join, right, if you're into that. You should go. It's in Happy Valley. And you come together once a week for an hour, and you work out, you exercise, you gather for the same goal of, hey, let's be healthy. Let's be fit. Let's not be lazy. Let's live a healthy lifestyle. And even though throughout the week, maybe you didn't live a healthy lifestyle, at least for that hour, you're focused on it and you're inspired by other people. You're encouraging each other. And that helps you maintain a lifestyle of healthy, I don't know, healthy eating, working out, being active. And it helps you stay the course. And I think it's the same for us with our life, that we want to live for the Lord in worship to Him. There's so many things that make it so difficult. And when we come together in person and we're surrounded by other people that are pouring out their devotion to the Lord, we have Matt or whoever the worship leader is worshiping with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength and declaring the glory of God and saying to Him, I love you, I will follow you. And you have voices around you. I was particularly thinking about Grace today because I was sitting next to her. And Grace just worships with abandon, you know. She's got her hands lifted and you can see it in her body language. You can see it in her face. She loves God. And it inspires us to do the same. It's like, oh man, there's people around me. In the morning service, I had Nellie behind me weeping before the Lord, you know, as she's singing the song. And it inspires us and says, man, I want to worship God in the same way. I want to maintain that heart of devotion and affection to the Lord. I want to read a quote from Foster. It says, Martin Luther witnesses to the fact that at home, in my own house, there is no warmth or vigor in me. But in the church, when the multitude is gathered together, a fire is kindled in my heart and it breaks its way through. It breaks its way through. And sometimes on our own throughout the week, it is hard. Even though we're trying, we don't feel that zeal or passion, the fire in our hearts as we turn to God to pray, as we turn to God to worship. But when we come together, you have at least an hour, hour and a half of being together, seeing other people worship the Lord, and the fire of God is kindled in our hearts, and it helps us to carry on and to stay the course. So we gather for help because we need it. We're saying to one another, help me, help you, or I don't know, help me and I'll help you, and let's worship God together. Let's stay the course together. So we gather for help. And the last point, we gather for relationship. Why do we gather? We gather for relationship. We gather for unity. That God calls the church, that God calls us into loving relationship and unity is clear, right? We don't have to search very hard to find verse after verse where God says, hey, body of Christ, be united. Love each other, care for each other, be one. I have a few verses I want to read with us. 1 John chapter 3, verse 23. This is His commandment, that we believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as He commanded us. Romans 12, verse 10 and 15. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn, right? Care for each other, love each other, devote to one another in love. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly united in mind and thought. 1 Peter 4, 8. Above all, That's powerful. It says, above everything else, above all, keep fervent in your love for one another. Peter's saying, this is the most important thing, that you stay fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. So it's very clear in Scripture, God calls us to love each other and to be united. What else is clear? It's also clear that loving one another and building that kind of relationship and obtaining unity is very, very hard. It's also very clear through our life experience, through different scripture passages, becoming one, having unity, loving each other is very difficult. And so we need to help ourselves. Right? We need to do everything that we can to help ourselves in this pursuit of unity and loving relationship. This is something that I wrote down as I was reading through Foster this week, as I was preparing for this. One reason to get together physically, one reason for us to get together in person and physically is this. If it really is the desire of God for us to be united as one, if it really is God's desire for us to be united as one, gathering together is so important because it will greatly help us in becoming one. Becoming one, unity. This is super difficult. And at times, it seems impossible. And so we need all the practical help we can give ourselves to achieve this. And gathering in person will definitely help. It will definitely help more than staying at home by yourself, tuning into the live stream on your own. When you gather in person, what happens? Even though it may not be a deep conversation, we share a smile with each other. We fist bump. We a tap on the shoulder. And we see their life. We see their kids. We say hello. We make small talk during the greeting time. After service, we get to have a short conversation. Maybe that leads us to have a deeper conversation. Maybe during response time, we get an opportunity to pray for one another, and that deepens the love and the care, right? I mean, if it pleases God for us as a church to be one and to love each other in this way, I mean, how do we achieve it unless we come together and we get to know each other? And we make small talk that hopefully leads to big talk, you know, and meaningful talk. And we find out what's going on in each other's lives. And we might say, we have house church for that. And yes, I agree. House church is great. As Pastor Samuel Navarro said in the beginning, house church is our primary way of knowing each other, being known, and knowing other people. But the call to love one another and the call to unity is not limited to the 12 members of your house church, right? The call to love one another is for the whole church. And I just want to say, you know, we're not a mega church. We're not a mega church. It's not impossible for us in this service, with the amount of people we have right now, it's not impossible for you to actually have genuine love and care for the people in this service, right? It may not be as deep as your house church members, but you can have genuine love and care. You can know a little bit about what's going on in their lives. What do they do? Are they married? Do they have kids? What's going on in their lives? You can have genuine love and care, if we made an effort. And it's not impossible to have genuine relationship with 30, 40, 50 people, you know. Foster talks about a supernatural fellowship that comes upon a gathered group of believers. So it's a long quote. If you could bear with me, let's try to stay focused and kind of get the heart of what Foster is saying. When the people of God meet together, there often comes a sense of being gathered into one mind, becoming of one accord. Thomas Kelly writes, "A quickening presence pervades us, breaking down some part of the special privacy and isolation of our individual lives and blending our spirits within a super individual life and power." I don't know who Thomas Kelly is, but he writes very beautifully, but very in a complicated manner. But what is he saying? He's saying there is a super individual, capital L, life, capital P, presence, power, and that's God. And as we come and we connect with that super individual, the life and power and presence of God. Because we're all individuals, but we're connected to the one thing. There is a blending of hearts that occurs when everybody connects to the Lord together. An objective, dynamic presence enfolds us all, nourishes our souls, speaks glad, unutterable comfort with us, and quickens us in depths that had been before been slumbering. When we are truly gathered into worship, things occur that could never occur alone. There is the psychology of the group, to be sure, and yet it is so much more. It is divine interpenetration. There is what the biblical writers called koinonia, deep inward fellowship in the power of the Spirit. So I like, when Foster says, there is the psychology of the group, to be sure, and yet it is so much more. So what he's saying is, it's a natural thing that occurs when you get together and you're all focused on one thing and you have a shared experience together. It's a natural thing. You just become closer together because we're gathered for one purpose. But it's also more than that. It's also supernatural. The greatness of God, the greatness of His presence and His glory and His love, as we connect to that, there is a spiritual connection that is formed between believers. And it's supernatural, but it helps us to achieve this koinonia, deep inward fellowship in the power of the Spirit. The last part of this quote. There comes a divine melting of our separateness. In the power of the one Spirit, we become wrapped in a sense of unity and of presence, such as quiets all words and enfolds us within an unspeakable calm and interknittedness within a vaster life. That also, last part, is Thomas Kelly. Sounds like him, right? So there's an interknittedness within a vaster life. When we come together, there's a presence, there's a connection, there's a sense of unity that comes upon us. That's it. None of those three points are very profound. They're kind of like, oh, it makes sense. We gather because presence matters. We gather in person because we want to be fully present to what God is doing, to what the church is doing, and we don't want to miss out on the presence of God. We gather for help because we need it. We need a set aside time specifically to worship and to adore and to give our hearts to Him and to connect with Him, because we want to do that throughout our whole lives, but it's so difficult, and it's helpful to come together, support each other, encourage each other, do it together, and we gather for relationship and unity. Because if that really is the heart of God, if that's the desire of God for us to be united and to have loving relationship with one another, well, how can we do that without coming together and seeing each other, interacting with each other, building relationship with each other? So I want to end with a final thought. The discipline of gathered worship. This is a discipline, right? This whole series is the celebration of discipline. Discipline means it's not always natural. It's not always easy. It's not always fun. But we do it because we believe it is good for us. We discipline ourselves to pray, to fast, to have times of solitude, because those things have great benefit, even though it's not easy to do. And sometimes, I understand, we don't want to gather in person for service. It's tiring. It's way more effort than tuning into service online. You know, 2 weeks ago when our service was online, and this is confession, I turned to my wife as I sat on the sofa and turned on the TV. I said, "Hey, is it bad that I'm kind of happy that we're at home watching service online today?" And she, I don't remember what she said. But it's true. It's so easy, right? You sit down, you know. And there is something great about being together with your family and being able to worship God together in that way, but perhaps it's too easy. Sometimes we don't want to gather in person. Maybe you have come in person in the past, and it really wasn't that much better anyway, right? You came in person, and it was like, this is just all right. I'm just going to tune in online today. And so I want to encourage you. There is an element of disciplining ourselves to come out in person. Here's a quote from Foster addressing this point. Many times you will not feel like worship. Perhaps you have had so many disappointing experiences in the past that you think it is hardly worth it. There is such a low sense of the power of God. Few people are adequately prepared. But you need to go anyway. You need to offer a sacrifice of worship. You need to be with the people of God and say, "These are my people." As stiff-necked and hard-hearted and sinful as we may be, together we come to God. And this is Foster. He's so honest. He says, many times I do not feel like worshiping. And I have to kneel down and say, Lord, I don't feel like worshiping, but I desire to give you this time. It belongs to you. I will waste this time for you. That's powerful, you know? And he's talking about worshiping. He's not necessarily talking about coming in person, but I want to tie that in as that's what we're exploring today. And I think sometimes we may not want to come out in person, and it's tiring, and you just want to maybe relax, or you feel like, man, if I stayed home, the commute takes like half an hour, 45 minutes, and I could do so much more. And maybe God is inviting you and saying, just come anyway. Discipline yourself to come because there are benefits to you coming. It's a way for you to show that it means something for you. It's a way for you to help yourself, help one another. It's a way for you to connect. And God's saying, come anyway. As Foster says, you need to go anyway and offer a sacrifice of worship. I know that some of us, we're wrestling with what has happened in our church over this past year. It's hard for you to come out because it feels so strange to come in person. Maybe you don't want to face certain people. You don't want to face the situation. I want to acknowledge that, but I also want to encourage you with this. You know, if you're in that place, the first thing to do is to pray, right? You go before God and ask this question. God, hey, is this the place for me? Is this the place for me? Is this still the church that you're calling me to be a part of? And if you feel like this is still the place that God has called you to be, then let's come out. You know, you can say to God, God, I don't feel like coming. You know, it feels weird. I don't want to see certain people. And it's just, everything has changed. And it's just going to make me more sad. And I don't feel comfortable. And you can be honest with God and say, God, I don't feel like coming. But if this is the place you have called me to be, if this is the church you've called me to be, if this is the church you've called me to love and form loving relationships with and be united with, then fine, I'll go anyway. It'll be a sacrifice of worship for me, and I'll go anyway, and I'll give you this time. And even though it sometimes feels like a waste of time, as Foster says, I'm going to waste this time for you and for the body that you have called me to be a part of. I want to share with you one story and we're done. When I was 21 years old, I did a discipleship training course with YWAM. And it's a six-month program. 3 months you learn stuff, and 3 months you go on a mission trip. And I went to India, and on my team was a guy named Dan Nickel. And him and I, we just bonded. Somehow we connected, spiritual, just emotional connection. And we decided for the 3 months of being in India, we said to each other, hey, let's commit to meeting together at the end of every day and praying together. And so that's what we did for 3 months. After every day, after whatever what we did, we would come together and we would pray together. But I want to tell you, often we got together because we made this commitment, but we didn't want to do it. We didn't want to pray. We were tired. We just wanted to chill, relax, do something else. And sometimes we had relational tension. You know, something, you know, things happen over the course of 3 months of being together, and there are times where I didn't like Dan, and Dan didn't like me, and I was envious of him, and he, whatever, just we felt tension between us. But because we made this commitment, we would come together, and at times we would have to address it. You know, it was often me saying to Dan, I was envious of you, because Dan was this really cool, you know, just one of those really cool people that just everybody likes, and he's just, you know, confident and does all these things, and I would be insecure, and I'd be like, oh, I wish I was like Dan, and I had this jealousy in my heart, and I would confess to him. It's like, yeah, I had these thoughts about you, and I was upset, and other times Dan would have issues with me, and we would bring it up, we would talk about it, and then we would go to God, and we would say to God, God, man, I don't want to be here right now. Like, man, it's so hard for us to come and pray, but you've called us to do it, so we're here, and we want to pray to you, and we want to give this time to you, and like, I don't think I'm exaggerating. I think this is really true. I mean, just from my memory, I mean, it is a long time ago, but from my memory, every time we felt that way before the time of prayer, and we went before God, and we said, God, man, I don't even want to pray. It's so hard right now. Whatever it is that is hindering us from praying, can you take that away and help us to pray? He answered. And whatever emotional barrier, mental barrier, whatever barrier we felt like he removed it, and we had amazing, glorious times of prayer, connecting with each other, connecting with God, and really pouring out our hearts before the Lord. And I believe he'll do the same for you, right? If you're on the live stream, I want to encourage you, allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you, and we can, you know, we can talk about this. We can reason together and explore, you know, how this topic together. But you can say to God, God, I don't really want to go. But if it's really you telling me to go, then I'll make that my worship. I'll make the discipline of coming out in person, I'll make that my worship. Okay, so Matt, he's going to come and lead us in a song. Let's just sing this song together first, and then we would take our communion together. So let's rise to our feet. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord, for this message. Lord, thank you for this chapter on worship from Foster. And, I'm thankful for helping me to clear some of my thoughts and questions about the importance of gathering in person. And I pray, Lord, that you would speak to each of us, God. Help us to have reasons for coming out and gathering in person. Not just because of tradition or that's what we've always done, but God, that there are good reasons for why we want to gather out in person. And hey, can we pray together? I just wanted, you know, in the first service, kind of at the end of it, I felt like something that we need to pray for is if we really, like one of the things that's going to make in-person service so meaningful and powerful is if the presence of God is here. And again, the presence of God is here. He's here all the time. And whether we feel it or not, He's here. But sometimes it's just in His mercy and grace. As we cry out to Him, He responds and He releases His presence. And man, that is life-changing, heart-transforming, that brings healing. It brings renewal. And it's the most precious thing. That final song we sang, Lord, You are more precious than silver. Lord, You are more costly than gold. It changes from just a nice song into a confession, a true reality in your heart. You're saying, man, Lord, You are more precious because You somehow, God has unveiled His beauty, His glory, His preciousness. So as we sing this song, let's make that our prayer, and then we'll do communion together.
Let our praise be Your welcome. Let our songs be a sign. We are here for You. We are here for You. Let Your breath come from heaven. Fill our hearts. One. hearts are open, nothing hidden, hidden. You are one desire. Oh, you alone, you alone. Only you are worthy, only you are worthy, Lord. To you our hearts are open, nothing. Oh, Lord, oh, Jesus, oh, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. We welcome you. We welcome your presence.
Jesus, thank you. Thank you.
We want to witness the coming of the Holy Spirit. As you moved in the book of Acts, a few times, God, the Holy Spirit comes, the room shakes, and the glory of God appears, Lord. We want to encounter that, Lord. We want to walk in the presence of God. We want to witness the power of God and the healing of God and the glory of God and the love of God. And we are desperate for an encounter with you, Lord. We're desperate for an encounter with you. Lord, would you have mercy? Mercy on our church, Lord. As we sang this a few weeks ago, that this would be a resting place for your glory, God, a resting place for your presence, Lord. I pray that you would stir up a hunger, God, a stir up a desire, a longing, a humble love for your presence, God. Yeah, help us right now to worship you, to truly give you our attention, our affection, our devotion to you, and to be fully present with you, God, singing these songs to you and devoting our hearts to you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Hey, let's say you guys can be seated. I'm going to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. If you don't have the communion elements, you can please raise your hand right now and we will make sure you get one. Okay, good, great. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 20 through to 26. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." And I just want to take some time. We're going to do this together so you can hold on to the elements. But if you are, if you're not a Christian, you're visiting us and you're not familiar with this, I just want to let you know what we're doing is the wafer at the top. It represents the body of Christ that was broken for us on the cross. And the grape juice at the bottom, it represents the blood of Jesus Christ that was spilled for us on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. And so when we do this, we call it a ritual. When we do this together, we're, as the scripture says, we're proclaiming the Lord's death. And we're saying to the Lord, "Thank you. Thank you for dying for me on the cross. Thank you for your body that was broken for me. Thank you for the blood that was shed for me. And I receive it. You know, I believe it. I receive it. And I'm so thankful. I worship you for what you have done." And so, if you are not a believer, please don't feel pressured to do this. Okay? You don't have to do it. If you're not a believer but you want to participate, this is my view. I think it's okay as long as you do it with a humble heart, with a sincere heart. Maybe you're exploring and you're not sure, but you respect what's going on. And if that's the case and you want to explore, that's fine. You're welcome to do it with us, but there's no pressure for you to do it, so you don't have to join in, because it's a significant act that we're doing. So let's open up the top cover, the plastic cover. You can take out the wafer and the main cover. And let's take a moment to pray. I want to invite you to reflect on your life. Our thoughts, our words, our actions, do they reflect the fact that we believe and that we're thankful for what Jesus Christ has done for us on the cross, that our sins have been forgiven, that we've been given new life? We were once dead, but now we've been made alive in him. And, you know, the way we live our lives, does it reflect that? The way we speak and the thoughts, the meditations of our hearts. So let's just think about that and let's repent and come before the Lord, but also let's come in thanksgiving for what this means, that Jesus Christ has made a way for us to be forgiven and to have relationship with the Father, and to be saved. So let's take a moment to repent and to be thankful, and then we'll take this together. In the name, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord, for this time. God, this is an act of worship for us unto you, Lord. As we proclaim your death, God, we're saying, Lord, we trust in you. We are believing that Jesus, the Son of God, came, lived a perfect life, went up on the cross, died, gave his body and his blood for our sins. And we want to partake in that, Lord. And we want to come in worship and thanksgiving before you. And thank you, Lord, for the forgiveness and the life that we have in you. We love you. We worship you, Lord. Let's take this together. This is the body of Christ broken for you and the blood of the new covenant poured out for you. Hey, can we sing the Lord, you are more precious? Yeah, let's just sing that chorus. Let's stand together. Let's sing that last song that we sang during the praise and worship time, and then we'll pray to finish the service. God, we worship you. We want to give you our affection, our devotion. God, we want to come and say to you, you are more precious than silver and gold and diamonds. God, you are worthy of our devotion. Yeah, God, thank you. Help us to live a life of worship, God, not just today, but Lord, throughout this week, that we would, that this would be reality for us. Thank you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, shalom, from this day forever. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a great day today. If you want to receive prayer for anything, physical healing or anything, we have our prayer team, the well team, up here to pray for you. So please come forward. Have a good week. Take care.